sensational fella and not a very intellectual fella and not a very driving fella, and not a fella that was imaginative and would be an innovator. And he said that he thought that Weaver had the weaknesses that a liberal, progressive Negro had that had tried to advance in this country the last 25 years, that he had had to be respectful and put on a good appearance and be decent and not be arrogant, and that I'd misjudged that for failing to be a driver, that if he ever had open path and a man that would support him and would treat him like he ought to be treated, I'd have a different person. I told him that that was his weakness as I saw it, and I was afraid if he made a flop of this that I would be back to Reconstruction days. The Negroes would have made a big flop. He said, but then I told him the other side, the reason I wanted to do it is, one, I like Weaver. Now, I just can't help it. I like you. I don't feel that close to King or to Farmer or to to Whitney Young. They just, I guess they haven't been around me enough. And this man, though, has my confidence. I like to talk to him. He treats me like I want to be treated. He doesn't bow and scrape to me, but he puts it on the line. Second thing is, I just can't pull myself into it. I'm not ever running for office. I don't want any Negro's vote. I've already had it. I had all they got, every damn one of them. But I don't want my little grandchildren to look me in the face and say, well, he just couldn't cut the mustard when he got up to where he had a chance to show what he'd do. He just wasn't equal to it. And I sleep with that every night. So I told him all that. He went out and 12 o'clock, came back 4 o'clock with this memo. Mr. Weaver's performance as administrator of the Housing and Home Finance Agency has been characterized by two salient features. One, he has managed a most complex and sensitive array of programs without a slightest trace of corruption or malfeasance. Two, he has created a genuine team spirit at the commissioner's level of that sprawling agency. I want to point out that his experience in the administration of urban programs, especially housing programs, but never exclusively housing, is unparalleled in this country. He has a manner that does not excite sensationalism and will enable the potentially controversial programs to move forward with a caution that should permit them to flourish with a minimum of controversy. Mm-hmm. He is more exciting than he looks, and he's more intellectual than he appears. The inherent organizational and structural weaknesses of HHFA prior to the new department made full-scale coordination and complete comprehensive policy direction next to impossible. But Mr. Weaver has succeeded in doing the impossible, in bringing new policy approaches, instance rent subsidies, and programs that have literally changed the entire direction and the entire tenor of America's housing and urban aid program. He is, in my judgment, as intellectually competent, this is a Harvard PhD writing, and as analytical of the urban scene as any major public figure in the United States today. With the imaginative and forceful organizational and administrative support contemplated by you in the organization of this new department, Weaver could be expected to pursue the goals of building better American cities with energy, and as well as any other person I have ever met.
Well, I'm speechless.
Well, that's a strictly objective fellow that doesn't give a damn about the Negro question, and as you see, he didn't mention it.
Yes, he didn't
mention it. And doesn't give a damn about Weaver. He has no obligation to him. I just ask him to study this thing and go out and from top to bottom, and I asked it 6 weeks ago, and nobody's lobbied him. As a matter of fact, Weaver hadn't lobbied anybody.
Well, he hasn't. I tell you,
another thing I appreciate.
Well, one thing you said that impressed me. He has conducted his business in this interim period with absolute integrity and professional skill.
and with a great deal of great deal of handicaps.
Yes.
Great deal of handicaps.
Oh,
everybody looks at him, is wondering, is he going to make it?
Yes.
That makes me want to make it that much more.
Well, I don't have to tell you what my personal attitude is.
I think I know your attitude,
yes.
And that's mine. It's just a question of whether we're doing right. Now, I've got a problem with Powell raising hell.
Yeah.
Got one in Mansfield. I've got mine straightened out in Mansfield, though.
Yes.
That was the real reason I didn't name
yes.
him before.
Yes.
I didn't want a confirmation fight.
Yes.
But I told Mansfield that, the other day that I had this man very high on the list, and I was considering 3 or 4. And I hoped that if I did, he wouldn't oppose him, and he had sent me word he wouldn't confirm him. And he said no, that he was mad at him because he made a foolish mistake, and that he's over it. He still thought it was a mistake, but he wouldn't be against him. So I got that problem. They tell me Whitney's not strong for him, but I think Whitney would like to have it, and I'm not worried too much about that.
That's right, I wouldn't worry about
that. But I am a little worried about Powell.
Powell,
you know what the damn fool's done? He's told me that under no circumstances should I name Weaver, and I ought to name this fellow in Alabama. Used to be on the housing committee.
I know, Al Rain.
Well, he's a good fellow, but
he's
the
good,
but the just the fact that I turned the Negro down and went to Alabama is unthinkable.
Well, politically, it's an untenable position. You just couldn't do that.
I know.
You just couldn't do that, and I feel that. Powell, if I may say so, part of his opposition goes back to the fact that Weaver is Harvard and high appointed positions out of the reach of Powell as an operating congressman.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's it.
It's it.
That's why we want a fellow like that in here.
That's
I think he'd be out of the reach of everybody.
Well,
I believe he is.
He had the same reaction when Weaver had the job in New York City, the Housing Redevelopment Board. He didn't want Weaver. He didn't want Weaver because Weaver was there directly carrying out the mayor's orders in a position that Powell couldn't dictate about.
Well, he's always raising hell with me, though, for not having Negroes.
Yes, I know. I know. Well, of course, consistency is not one of his virtues, as you well know.
You wouldn't worry about it, would you?
I wouldn't worry about it. He'll blow.
What will a fellow like King and Farmer say?
They won't say anything.
Will they be pleased?
They can't afford to.
Will they be pleased?
They'll be pleased. They'll be pleased, and they'll say, they'll have to say, you see, Mr. President, no Negro who can hold up his head and who has any kind of following, whether it's 20 or 200,000, can afford to oppose the great honor of a Negro in the cabinet, especially if it's plain that he's not a political hack. Now, if you named a political Negro who had served the Democratic Party in Wichita or Los Angeles or somewhere, there'd be a fight. But nothing like, it couldn't be anything but approval of this.
Tell you, I had another interesting thing. The cruelest man that I know is dying of cancer. Is in the heads of appropriations committee from Texas. Albert Thomas, and he's a great liberal, but he is a cruel fellow with a dollar, and he just raises hell and insults him and knocks him down and everything. He got a bigoted background from Nacogdoches, Texas, over in East Texas. Although he's voted right all these years, he comes from that old Louisiana backwoods. But he is the strongest man in this town for Weaver, says he's the best administrator before his committee, and he's the chairman of all the independent agencies.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. Says he knows more about his work, he's more honest, he's more fair, he's more humble, and is the best administrator, and got less Valdros. So that turned me pretty good.
Yeah. Well, this was that kind of a statement, or anything similar to it, even if not that extravagant, but anything similar to that coming from that kind of a man would be very useful to you if you decided to make this appointment.
Don't say I talked to you, and let's don't get it out. But I think that
I won't even discuss it with Minnie.
I'm thinking about trying to bring in some real top flight, smart, able fellows in the undersecretaries and the assistant secretaries, and give this fellow a break, and then we'll hold our hats and say our prayers.
Yes, and hold, also hold his feet to the fire.
I'll do that. Well, you'll have to come the day before, tell him, announce it. You just have to come and tell him now. We don't want him to do anything that's wrong. If he ever does, why, we all run. That's number one. We know that. But second, we want him to know that I only have 10 cabinet men, and we want him to be loyal and true to me as I am to him, period.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I know.
But I'll say it to him 10 times over.
I know that. Thank you. I'll be in touch with
you. I won't even talk it over with me.
That's, God bless you. Okay. You're a comfort to me, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sam, I'm proud of your nephew. I'm glad you had to read about it and not recommend him.
Isn't he a fine boy?
I'll tell you one damn thing, sure, that the name didn't hurt him any. That's one thing you can be sure of it. I'm going to swear him in my office.
Thank you, sir.
And you ought to be here when he's sworn in.
I will.
We're going to give him the power and the money, and he's got the toughest job, even tougher than Weaver's.
I
told him when I asked him to take it, I said, you know what you're getting into, young man? You've got the toughest job in America. You're a Negro that's going to be on trial whether you can stand up and represent your people and represent them with dignity and force and justice. And you just got to, and I'll back you all the way if you want to try it. And he said, well, he wanted to try it. And I said, let's get going. And the Katzenbach's going to back him, and we're gonna give him the power behind his job, and they haven't got it at Commerce. They're not a damn thing anybody wants in Commerce. All they got's weather and patents. But the southern people understand the justice.
Yes, I talked to Nick this afternoon.
Have you?
And I'm coming down to see him next Tuesday, I think.
That's good. Well,
have a long talk with
thank
him.
Thank you, Roy.
All right.
My best, Ms. Wilkin.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hello.